The Bible says, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. When he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you'd bless the Bible study tonight. Please lead and guide and direct as we look at this portion of Scripture and be reminded and make application to our lives with regards to the topic of forgiveness. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Striving together in forgiveness. So this is a parable that Jesus teaches, and he teaches this parable really in response to verse 21. Look at verse 21. The Bible says, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till 7 times? And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. And then he begins this parable that we just read. Therefore, so that's the question that was asked to him with regards to forgiveness. So look on your handout, just a short quote there that I wrote for you. And it says this, we cannot strive together for any length of time if we do not have a heart that is willing to continually offer forgiveness. And so that's the idea. As we strive together as a body of believers, are we ready, are we willing to move forward with forgiveness? And let me just before we go any further, maybe there's someone tonight that's on your heart or on your mind that either you sense that you need to forgive them, or maybe you even sense that they need to ask your forgiveness. Because we'll deal with both of those topics as we move forward in this lesson tonight. So there's 3 components to the lesson on your handout. The participants in forgiveness, the principles of forgiveness, these are already written down for you, and the priority of forgiveness. So let's look at this parable tonight and see how we can make this application to our lives. So the first fill in the blank here, there are 3 participants that we want to talk about. The first is the offended party. The offended party. So look at verse 24 of our parable. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. So there's a servant that owes the Lord 10,000 talents, and he hasn't paid him. So he's the offended party, not the person who hasn't paid, but the person who the debt is owed to. Then in verse 28, same thing, look what it says. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. Now, yes.
Liberty Mass
52 million versus 44. Wow. So there's the debt is significantly different, right? All right. So significantly different. No, I'm glad that you interrupted. And really, in my mind, look at verse 28. In my mind, the offended party here, you could almost say there are two offended parties. Now, it is true that this one servant owed the other servant, how much did you say 100 pence was? No, the one in verse 28. $44, all right? So you could say, well, he did owe him $44, so you could say he needed to pay that, and he hadn't paid it. But the other man who was demanding the money really treated this man in a very harsh way, didn't he? And so there's multiple things going on here. And then the second offended party, so you have the offended party, and then you have the one who sinned, and we pretty much identified who the one who has sinned in this is. The man who owes, number one, the greatest sin is the man who owes the debt first to his lord here, the king, and secondly, he sinned against his brother because of the way that he's treated him for a very, very small amount of money that's owed. So you have those two, and then the third participant in forgiveness is an omniscient God, an all-knowing God. And we're going to just kind of talk about this for just a minute, an all-knowing God. So look at verse 28. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And then it went on to say this, and his fellow servant fell down at his feet. Of course, he begs him, and he would not, and we've read that. But then look at verse 32. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? So the idea here is this. So when he demands the money, the small amount of money, in the parable, the king's not there. But news gets back to the king, right? Of how poorly this man who had been forgiven this huge sum of money has treated his fellow servant who owed him just a small amount of money. And the king takes issue with it. Well, the third part of the participants in forgiveness here, you have the offended party, you have the one that sinned, but now the third part is the omniscient God. Because while in the parable, the king is a person, but the king is representative of Almighty God who knows everything. Not only is he omniscient, all-knowing, but he's omnipresent as well. He's always there. So you understand the point I'm making here is this. With regards to our forgiveness, it's never just between either you and the offended party or you and the one that has sinned, but God is always present. In other words, would the servant have treated the other servant the same way if the king had been present? If the king was there, would he have taken him by the throat and said, hey, you owe me $44 or whatever it is that Jim said? No, because the king, but from a spiritual point of view, the king is always present. Amen? He's always present. So we need to think about that. Look at Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15. The Bible says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he'll not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. Then if he neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. So the idea here is this. Listen, if somebody offends you, you're just not, and it really bothers you and you need to deal with it, don't just let it go. It has to be. It should be dealt with. It should be presented to the person. Go back to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 23. Matthew 5. More instruction here from the Lord. He says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way first. Be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. The word reconcile, it means to be restored, or to bring back together. So if there's one of the characteristics or one of the things that we do during the Lord's Supper is not only are we remembering the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection, and not only remembering that He's coming again, but we're also to just look into our hearts and see if someone's offended us or we've offended them, and to make that right with them. Because we can't be right with God. We can't worship God right if we're not going to forgive people. We're just going to have a difficult time worshiping God in spirit and in truth. So these are the participants that we have here. And these are the participants in our parable. Remember, the question by Peter was, well, how many times are we supposed to forgive? So you go back to chapter 18. So it is the idea of restoration and who's participating. And as Brother Jim pointed out, the one owed $52 million and the other owed $44. So on your handout, I listed for you Ephesians 4:32. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. It is a game changer when we practice the presence of the Lord. Just as the man, I'm sure, would not have demanded by holding the man's throat this $44. Like this $44 was going to really put a dent in the $52 million. It's a game changer when we practice the presence of the Lord in our lives, realizing that the Lord is always present. Unlike the parable where the news came back to the king, but the news did come back to the king. The news is our king is instantly aware of what's going on. And we're reminded too, as Jim gave us those two figures, that our forgiveness, our debt, it was huge. It was insurmountable. That's always a motivation for our forgiveness for others. Jesus forgave us a debt that we could never pay. And so when someone sins against us or they offend us, you can't justify, well, it was too great an offense, I could never forgive them. What, aren't you thankful that Jesus never said, well, I could never forgive them? But He forgave each and every person who would come to Him repentant of their sin. So that brings us to the second part of the lesson tonight. That's the principles that are laid out in verses 31 through 33 of forgiveness. So let's just read these couple of three verses again, and then we'll look at these points here. Verse 31. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, or fellow servants saw what was done. Well, that's interesting too. There's always other people watching. Okay? The fellow servants were observing what was going on here and the interaction that was taking place. And his fellow servants verse 31. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after they had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee. So, several things here, several fill in the blanks under the principle of forgiveness. Number one, forgiveness is preceded by repentance. Forgiveness is preceded by repentance. So, what is repentance? What's the definition of repentance? Someone tell me. When we repent. Who can tell me? Return from her ways, you're going to say, a change of mind. A change of mind. And so there has to be, when someone offends us, when we're offended by it, we have to have a change of mind that, you know, yes, they've offended me, but I can forgive them. Or the flip side of that is, it may be that someone comes to us and said, you've offended me by saying or doing such and such. And then we have to come to terms with, well, maybe I did offend them. Maybe I didn't even mean to offend them, but maybe I did offend them. So true forgiveness is going to be preceded by repentance. Secondly, forgiveness sometimes requires repeating. It requires repeating. Remember in early on in this chapter, what was the question that Peter asked? He said, verse 21, Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? And then what did Jesus say? No, not seven, until seven times, but until 70 times seven. So sometimes we have to forgive people, maybe if you're the same thing, more than one time. And by the way, sometimes that person may be even you, yourself. You know, one of the people that sometimes you can't forgive? Sometimes it's yourself. For some that you've done. There are people like that. That might not be anybody in this room. But I've talked with people and they've committed things or they've done things and they just have a hard time forgiving them. They've gone to the Lord. They've asked the Lord to forgive him or forgive them. And then sometimes they just have a difficult time forgiving themselves for whatever happened. And so sometimes not only do we have to have a change of mind, but sometimes forgiveness, we have to forgive somebody more than one time. It could be the same offense. Because that's what Jesus said. But we do know this. The third point is that forgiveness in God's eyes true forgiveness is permanent. It's permanent. In Hebrews 10:17, the Bible says, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In the parable, the king came, and the servant who owed that huge amount of money, he fell down at the Lord's feet. He said, "Oh Lord, have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all." Well, there was no way this man was going to pay him 50-something million dollars. It just wasn't going to happen. And the king probably knew that, but the Lord of the servant, he was moved with compassion. He forgave him the whole debt. It's okay, I'm going to forgive you the debt. It's wiped clean. And true forgiveness is, the king couldn't come back a week later and say, you know, I changed my mind, I want you to pay me that money back. No, once he loosed him of the debt was free. It was done with. It was gone. And when Hebrews says, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more, Jesus said he's not going to bring them back. They are as far as the east is from the west. And that's forgiveness. Forgiveness when we truly strive to forgive one another. That forgiveness has to be permanent. That forgiveness can't be like the king coming back and saying a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks later, you know, I've changed my mind. It can't be you and I saying, well, I forgive this person or I forgive that person. And then 2, 3, 4 weeks later saying, no, I've changed my mind. Now I don't forgive them. Well, you probably really didn't have a true heart of forgiveness to begin with. And then the next point, fourth point, is forgiveness needs to be unmerited. Unmerited. And we learn that from the Lord. What did we do to earn Jesus' forgiveness? What did we do? We did nothing. Well, we did turn to the Lord, obviously. We repented. We recognized our sin. But we couldn't earn it, right? Couldn't have been earned. Well, if we're expecting people to earn our forgiveness, then that's really not biblical forgiveness, because that's not the pattern that Jesus set up. in His Word. So our forgiveness, it needs to be unmerited forgiveness. For Jesus forgave us not because we earned it. He forgave us because He loved us. Forgiveness also prohibits vengeance. Vengeance. We need to be careful that we're not hoping for vengeance against the person. There's going to be any vengeance carried out. We know who carries it out, right? Jesus, the Lord said, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay." You and I, we can't have, well, I'll forgive him if he ends up breaking his leg or something like that. It doesn't work that way. And then the last one here is forgiveness prevents bitterness. Forgiveness prevents bitterness. A lot of people end up bitter at other people because they just can't forgive them. Now, as you're finishing writing these out, that doesn't excuse a person's actions. Actions can be wrong and hurtful. Okay, I'm not making a light of that. But especially bitterness, if we're not careful, bitterness will rob us of the joy of the Lord. You know, what's the old saying? It was something like this. Bitterness is like drinking a cup of poison and hoping the other person is going to die from the poison. So it doesn't work that way. These are principles that are laid out. There has to be repentance. The change of mind may be, you know, I could never forgive Frank, but the change of mind has to be, you know what? God's going to allow me to forgive Frank. Even though he's offended me 70 times, I'm going to keep forgiving him. And it's going to be permanent. And I'm not expecting him to earn it. And I don't want anything hurtful to happen to him. And I'm not going to be bitter, even if he fails to see my part of all of this transaction. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, Paul put it this way: "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you." So that little phrase, "even as Christ forgave you," it brings us back to the two debts, 50-something million and $44. Well, our forgiveness with regards to Christ is more like the 50-something million. And our forgiveness towards our brothers and sisters in Christ is really like the $44. "Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness." Great thoughts that Paul gives us there in Colossians. And it's interesting, too, because the first quote came out of Ephesians. So he's addressing the Christians in Ephesus about forgiveness. Apparently they needed some teaching on forgiveness. And then he writes the letter to the Christians that are in Colossae, and he begins to teach them the same thing. So apparently this is instruction. There's nothing new under the sun. All down throughout history, people have had to learn what it meant to forgive one another. And then we finish up with the third point, which is the priorities of forgiveness in verses 33 through 35. So here's the teaching here. "Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?" That's what the king says to the servant in the parable. And so the first fill in the blank, compassion has to be a priority. We have to be compassionate for people. Psalm 86:5 says this: "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." Psalm 86:5, "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." That needs to be you and I, ready to forgive. Ready to forgive. And so the king says this in this teaching, in this parable. He says, hey, I had compassion. I had compassion. How come you didn't have compassion? In fact, twice it's found the word compassion. Back in verse 27, the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and he loosed him. Well, the guy took the other guy by the throat. He had no compassion. Give me my $44. And he goes on and says this. And his Lord was wroth, verse 34. The king is angry till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do unto you if you from your heart forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. I wonder that the word torment is used here. I wonder how many times people go through life, Christian people go through life, just tormented by the fact that they just have not forgiven someone. We bring it upon ourselves. So the last fill in the blank is this, that obedience has to be a priority. Obedience has to be a priority. Not only must have compassion, but listen, we're commanded to forgive. It's not like an option. It's a command. I like this. I wrote it on my handout here. Someone said this. They said, God will not instruct us to do what He will not enable us to do. God will not instruct us to do what He will not enable us to do. So if His command is to forgive, He'll enable us to forgive. One last portion of Scripture. Just turn back to Matthew chapter 6 and we'll be done. Matthew 6, yes. Compassion. Compassion. Compassion is a priority. And obedience is a priority. Matthew 6, verse 14 says, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Just a simple thought, but it's so true. So, we see who the participants are. We see the principles that are laid out here. And the two final sub-points, we've got to have compassion for people, and we've got to be obedient to God's Word. He'll enable us. If He's commanded us and instructed us, He will enable us. So, these three questions at the end, just to finish up, is there someone you've wronged from whom you should seek forgiveness? Maybe you're the one who has sinned. Maybe you're the one. And that you need to go and you need to say, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said or done what I've done. And it will be very liberating if that's the case. You'll be freed. Is there someone who wronged you? Who you need to approach. Sometimes we just need to go to someone and we just need to talk to them and approach them and say, you know, I feel like you owe me an apology. And is there someone who wronged you but then truly repented to whom you are withholding forgiveness? You understand that point? Someone who did wrong you and they came to you with a change of heart and said, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said or did what I've done. But you're not forgiving them. That is like a weight that will weigh you down. And you don't want that either. So striving together in forgiveness. So important for brothers and sisters in Christ to learn to forgive one another and to make these applications in our lives. That's our Bible study for tonight. Let's have a short word of prayer and then you can go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, thank you for the opportunity that you give us to be here tonight, and we ask that you'd bless now our prayer time. We pray that it be meaningful. Thank you for the privilege that you give us to approach the throne of grace. We pray as we lift up each of these requests to you that you'd answer them according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen.